I love you. Mishka, I love you. I love you. Mishka, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
We're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. What a great idea. How you doing? All right. The American Red Cross wants you and your family to be prepared for any emergency. Download any of their free mobile apps to have critical information on what to do in an emergency right in the palm of your hand. Their apps include first aid, hurricane, earthquake, tornado, and wildfire. Find them by searching Red Cross in the Apple iTunes or Google Play stores. Remaster Media joins you in supporting WRCT. Are you a musician, podcaster, YouTuber, a TikToker? Remastermedia.com can make your audio sound amazing and professional. You can join thousands who have added greater depth, clarity, and stereo imaging to their audios and videos. By using remastermedia.com, there are even noise reduction features to take away nasty buzz and hiss from remote or phone recordings. So before you share your next audio or video, you can visit remastermedia.com to make it sound amazing. And if you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. At the height of the Cold War, the Soviet Union installed a covert probe on the moon as part of the KGB's Lunar Espionage Division. With a considerable effort, WRCT's radio astronomy group has tapped into the probe's memory banks and decrypted a vast library of extraterrestrial lunar transmissions. WRCT presents Moon Radio, an anthology series of earthly music and unearthly broadcasts every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Thank you.
You are entering another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and of sound, but also of mind. This is a dimension that few people enter, and from which even fewer return. There is a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, WRCT 88.3 FM Stereo. It could be worse. You could be entering the Twilight Zone. But there are other alternatives.
We don't know about that. No, no. Isn't that amazing? Where would most of those be? In Western Australia?
Well, in the East Coast, they're basically in the rainforest, and there are areas of rainforest that are not in yet.
The big panda snail up here in the southern Queensland rainforest, and it's got a shell as big as an apple. Overseas, you can get the giant African land snail that grows up to about 8 inches in shell length. That's quite an enormous beast.
I don't even like talking about eating them because some smarty will say, "Oh, we should be developing that resource. You know, everything that they can get a good out of, they seem to want it." But are these these snails are edible, or many of them edible?
Well, a colleague of mine, Rod Simpson, at New England University at Armidale, was actually looking into the possibility of using some of the Australian native species as a table snail.
Right.
Now, they're all probably edible. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, once you cook a lot of these things, they don't quite turn out the way you might expect. And people don't tend to eat a lot of things they don't like looking at. What we found is that boiling some of those species up, they just turned into a pile of mud. But there is one species, native one here in sort of central western Queensland, called the apple snail, and it looks like it's been quite a marketable snail for me. What needs to be done now, of course, is to develop, find out a little bit about biology, breeding, and so forth.
He's going to come and do a few more later on with us. Thanks for all your support. So this would be probably not as good as the one we just heard. But anyway, if you can't hear me speaking, it's because we're right behind the speaker. So anyway, we're doing the best we can. Have a listen. Hope you enjoy. This is As at the Manor and Stephen Paul Kennedy on the banjo.
Each species. It's really something that's not been recorded in many parts of the world. Just starting to get into some of the snails in the central Australian area. I mean, how some of these things survive in these dry areas for years, year after year after year, I think is a fascinating thing. But the first thing that needs to be done is we need to go out and collect these things, find
they are back different species, go through the formalities of describing them, which is no mean task, really. And that's the job that sort of takes me about 2 months of the year out in the field and in the varied rainforest along the east coast here, collecting species with the aim of recording the fauna. I mean, it's a funny thing that we know the names of all the mammals, the birds, the fish, but the little invertebrates, snails, worms, spiders, which outnumber these by, you know, millions to one. I mean, we're quite happy not to worry, about, yeah, and in the way that the environment is being destroyed, I'm sure we're losing some of these species before we're even getting a chance to name them.
Yeah, I've heard the same proposition put forward about insects, exactly the same thing, and we're losing a lot of our insects haven't even been discovered or sized or named or whatever, and we're already losing them because the environment's going, or the habitat's been destroyed or something. We were talking to Renee, and what prompted this was that's the program we did from 3LO last year, about carnivorous snails. Tell us the carnivorous snails story. Are they worthy of a film, or are they a little less fierce now?
No, they. I've only ever seen a few examples of them actually devouring other species of snail. But from what I've read in books, they are pretty fearsome in the way they attack another snail. They have a specialisation in their body structure. They have a very long neck, so even if the snail decides to withdraw into its shell to try and escape from the carnivorous thing, it's got a long enough neck that'll go in after it. And it's got these dagger-like teeth, which just virtually rip the flesh off the other snail. Pretty gruesome stuff at that sort of level, I suppose.
Mm. Now, the snail that everybody has in their garden, is that a native snail, or that's an introduced one?
No, that's another introduction. That was recorded here for the first time in Sydney, actually. I think in the 1850s, so that's been here a long time.
But probably came in with the baggage again, somewhat.
Well, see, in those days, I mean, people didn't really know too much about it. I mean, it's more of a crime these days, and everybody, you know, is aware of the fact that you shouldn't be transporting these things from one place to another, and there's still people trying to bring in snails from overseas, but the garden snail is now well established. I'm not sure that we'll ever eradicate it. It's actually been farmed by a few people, one in New South Wales that I know of, a lady, and another one in Victoria, and being supplied to restaurants.
Yeah, that's good. Native snails, how do they handle urbanisation or suburbanisation?
Thank you. I suppose when you get away, if you can, to look at the stars. I haven't been to the Kimberley. I had an invitation. Going to go in a helicopter. Queensland.
Right.
Places I've been.
The bottom of the Cassiopeia here,
the leaving. Estimate about 120,000 kilometres.
And you like travelling? You like getting out of the
field? Oh, it's a job. It's tremendous. And, really hard. Environments which we tend to create by, as you say, gardening.
Slugs look like a snail without a shell.
That's all they are.
They're
in the same, yeah, and some of the shell species and slug species are in fact very closely related.
And could you eat those slugs and then properly treat them?
Oh, yes.
It's not a good subject this time of morning. There's a lot of late rising that's just ripping into the toast and eggs and stuff.
They're probably all edible. she need to do with...
I'll just... Slugs on toast.
Yeah, slugs on toast. Because once you pull the snail out of the shell, of course, I mean, it just looks like a slug anyway.
Slug and butter.
But,
go on.
You can eat the garden snail. I would just advise people, if they have any ideas about running out in the yard now and having snails for lunch, you want to be careful because they could have been feeding on the luscious weed, or, you know, say an oleander tree or something like that, and you can get secondary poison.
I'm
If any one tree typifies the vast dry inland, it would have to be mulberry. It occurs right across the coast from central New South Wales to the Indian Ocean, from Spanish Gulf, a couple of hundred kilometres of Darwin. Plant communities dominated by mulberry account for about 1.5 million square kilometres. Mulberry is one of the several kinds of acacia which are found in Australia. The size and shape of mulberry varies immensely from forest tree with a single straight trunk or a mulberry stem. When rain falls, drops of water are directed down the branches that slant upwards from the main trunk. And this way, most of the rain is channeled down the trunk and enters the soil where it can be drawn on by the roots. This is one of its secrets for survival in the arid interior of Australia, where it flourishes in areas that receive little 5 inches.
Is it standing there or is it flying away?
She's just standing there. Mm. Slowly dropping at the moment, but very, very slowly.
Well, what's the prognostication? When do they reckon it'll be you'll be able to get about your business?
It's hard to say. If we don't get any rain within another 2 weeks, we might get out within 3 weeks. But, you know, it depends on the rain. We've got the Georgina Channel one end of us and the Diamantina Channel the other end. And they're just holding water in.
Well, is this, when did this happen? The last time this happened?
Well, it's only been a local here for a year now.
Right.
But the local spray, it's about the best one that has 74.
74, right?
Yeah, the big one there. The diamond, the diamond, and it's the second biggest shore in Queensland.
Yeah.
You don't hear much about poor old Baduri.
Why did you go to Baduri, mate?
Oh, something different.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Yes, I'm from the coast, I'm from Gympie originally. And I did some travel west and dirt me blood and I stayed here in them.
Have you got a family?
Yes.
How do they like?
They love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. Well, it is different, isn't it? And that's the nice thing about it. People seem to be different, and it's quieter, and there's less rush and pace, and you can stop and listen to the silence and all those sorts of things, can't you?
Yeah, really.
Michael Norwood, your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Asthma affects 25 million people nationwide, and every day 10 people die with it, with African American women and children being most at risk. Early warning signs include coughing, especially at night, or with exercise and wheezing. Almost all asthma can be effectively managed with a good action plan. So talk with your doctor today, and for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
Sky. bad. Honor. Bad.
Tiny bit after 7 o'clock, you are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. What do we have there? Excerpt from Side 2 of Fletcher Pratt's Rituals for Magnetic Tape Volume 2. Embla Quick Beam with Remote Sense off of Stones That Move and Grow. Side B of Kara McKinney's Home Tasting Cassette. Prior to that, Rest without a T. Just more rest and less rest. Off of the tape, Waiting in the Waiting Room with a Waiter and a Waitress by Joan LaBabala. And we started off the show with Identical Sunsets, tracked by Paul Dunwall and Chris Corsano. More bagpipes headed our way. It's just that. It's that time. Bagpipe time. So, what makes a community vibrant? Welcoming public spaces in every neighborhood, clean air and water for all the residents, good jobs, and strong local economies. And what do all these have in common? It's trees. And if you support a healthy community and a thriving economy, you are an urban forest advocate. It's a message from the Sustainable Urban Forest Coalition, U.S. Forest Service, and WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizzas, hoagies, and wings. While specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives, they used no refined sugars in their sauce and unbleached flour in their dough. Spack Brothers is committed to safety during the ongoing pandemic by providing online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. You can learn more about online ordering at www.spackbrothers.com. You will receive a text message when your food is ready to be picked up. For more information, call 412-362-SPAK or visit the website at spackbrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or spakbrothers.com. And if you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Host Larry Berger brings you acoustic music, puzzles, interviews, and live performances weekly on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from 6 till noon on WRCT.